My name is Louis Wieneker. I graduated Yeshiva College in 1982 and got smicha in 1985. That's not why I'm here. I'm here because together with Rabbi Brander, who sits to my right, and Rabbi Yasger, Jordy, you're here somewhere? Okay. And a number of others, we were zocha in the early 80s to be the Rav's Misharsim. The first time I ever saw the Rav was in the Holzer House in Kew Garden Hills in the late 70s. I came in to get a sefer, and as I hung up, they said, oh, by the way, the Rav's here. So I came into the house, and I was so nervous. My knees were shaking. I wanted to say, forget the sefer, can I take him? But I don't know if it was, I didn't know it was proper. I was so nervous. It continued, it lingered. Although I became more comfortable, I still remember Rav Schechter, my Rebbe, just told the story about the Rav davening. So the first time I ever laned in front of the Rav, it had to be 1981 or two, it was a Thursday, because the Rav would fly in on Tuesday mornings, or by Holtz Zichron Levrach would pick him up. He'd say, Shir, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then as I had a car, I would drive him to LaGuardia to the Eastern Shuttle on Thursday afternoon. So it must have been a Thursday morning, and we had a minyan, and I laned. And again, even though I was a little bit more comfortable, I was still very nervous. So the way it works is that the Balkore stands here, and the Oles stands here. So after the second Aliyah, which happened to be the Rav's Aliyah, somebody said to me, you know, Louis, you're standing on the wrong side of the bima. I was so nervous, I just leaned from the Oles side. So regarding what Rav Schechter said, I was also nervous because as I leaned, the Rav was leaning along loud. It was very disconcerting, and it would have been somewhat inappropriate for me to say, shh, so I did not. So, but still, I was nervous when I first met him, and even though I became more comfortable, there were still times when I was scared. Okay, so if that's the case, how do you explain the following story? I know Rabbi Brander appreciates this story. So in the Rav's bedroom, there were two beds this way. So I'm embarrassed to say, but again, if I didn't tell the story, Rabbi Brander would have told it, so better to come from me. So apparently, I was asleep across the bottom of the two beds one afternoon. How do I know? Because the Misharsim came to me and said, after I woke up, or maybe they woke me up. No, they didn't, because the Rav said not to. They said, can't believe you did that. You fell asleep on the Rav's bed. So I said, so why didn't you wake me up? So they said, the Rav said we couldn't. So how did I go from being so nervous that my knees were shaking to being too comfortable? And it's really a very simple answer. The Rav and his family, and that includes Rav Chaim, and that includes the Lichtensteins and the Twerskis, they were, and this is actually amazing, they were normal. They were gracious, grateful, kind, and unassuming. So say to yourself, the Rav being normal is amazing. Because here's a boy who grew up with this pedigree, with this brain, with this name. And yet, he enjoyed people. He enjoyed hanging with us. And he had really sterling midos. So if anybody could have been a Balgaiva, one could suggest it would have been the Rav. Never. Although, in a couple of minutes, I'll tell you a story which, it's not Gaivadik, but it's cute. But anyway, so the Rav was normal. I'll give you a couple of examples if you don't mind. One time I was balancing the checkbook. So it was simple, because there was only three checks written at intervals. One check to Yitzhak Lichtenstein, one check to Mayor Lichtenstein, and another check to Mayor Twersky. All in the same amount, like any other Zaidi. I once mentioned to one of the grandsons how nice it was. He said, I didn't even ask. I'm not going to say which. You can guess if you know the three. I didn't even ask, but the Rav felt he gave the other two. He had to give me the same amount. One time we were talking, I remember this was September 1983. So one Meshara says to the other, who's in the World Series? So the Rav answers, it's the Baltimore team against the Philadelphia team. He loved listening to the news. You walked into the apartment and CBS 880 was always on. He always knew what was happening. So, for example, I don't know if this name will be familiar to you, but in December 1980, John Lennon was killed. For those who learn all day, John Lennon was a member of the Beatles. So Tuesday nights, the Rav used to, in those days, early 80s, reprise his Moriah Shir. He would pointedly give the Shir on the previous week's Parsha so that anyone who came would not then steal the drusha. So I said, Rebbe, you know, you could say the drusha next year too. So he said, if somebody wants to come and is going to wait 50 weeks to say the drusha, I'm okay. So anyway, John Lennon had been killed the night before. Tuesday night, it's quiet. And the Rav says, I've been hearing on the radio about Lennon. My youthful memories of somebody with the name Lennon are somewhat different. The Rav, of course, came in to say shiurim. He liked learning. So one time in the afternoons, another one of the Misharsim, Michael Fredman, and I decided to have a chavrusa. So, of course, we talking louder than we should have, and all of a sudden we hear from the other side, what's going on? I should interrupt. These are never direct quotes. The Rav didn't speak in slang. The Rav learned English later in life. So the Rav's English was colloquial. So, for example, the first time he said to me, could you get me my billfold? What's a billfold? Oh, a wallet. So his English was learned from books. These are trousers, not pants. I know in Britain they speak that way too. But anyway, so if I use a slang, it wasn't the Rav's language. It's me just describing what happened. So the Rav said, what are you doing? We said, we're learning. Oh, come over here, bring the Gemaras, we'll learn together. Now, the minig is you have a chavrusa, you have two people. Somebody wants in as a third in a chavrusa, it's But when the Rav is the third in the chavrusa, yesh omrim, you'll let him in. So he joined us in the chavrusa. One time, there was a wedding in the sands. So my car was kind of like Hefker. So Barry Holzer said, I'll drive the Rav to the wedding. And I said, I have a better idea. I'll stop off. My father was going on vacation. I'll stop off from my home in Kew Garden Hills. You drive the Rav to the sands. Pick me up on the way back. So, of course, the Rav goes to the wedding. He's with the Sada Kedushin. They come back. I look into the car. I see there's a couple girls in the back seat. I say, okay, this is going to be interesting. So we drive up to YU. And as we get up to Yeshiva, the Rav says, okay, tell me your names again, please. So Barry looks at me and gives me eyes like, oh, okay, there's more to this story. Fine. We drop the Rav off at YU. Since it's, in fact, my car, I now take the girls down to Stern. So the girls corroborated this story. Barry corroborated this story. The girl said, on the way, the Rav was a gentleman. He said, my first name is Joseph. My last name is Soloveitchik. What are your names? So each one tells her name. The third one says, you're Rabbi Soloveitchik? Yes, my boyfriend is in your shir. So, I can imagine had that happened in the 50s, the boyfriend would have been called on the next day. But it didn't happen. Imagine you're touching 80 years old. You have a son and three grandsons in the apartment. But no, you have about five boys who also have a key who are walking in, prancing in at any minute. Nobody ever said a word. Just gracious. And of course, grateful for what we did for him. The Mesharis who hailed from Boston told me that he thought that maybe the Twerskys thought we coddled the Rav. Now, of course we coddled the Rav. We didn't let him do anything. We went and bought him his lunch. We cleaned up his lunch. We walked him to shir. We tried to take care of the appointments. But that was just his supposition. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. But nobody ever said, we don't like the way you handle our father, right? They let us do what we had to do. Just gracious. As I think has been chronicled elsewhere, maybe Dr. Goldstein, Zichron Levracha, or maybe Rabbi Brander, there was a nice Irish woman named Mrs. O'Shea who cleaned the Rav's apartment. So she retired. So the Rav says, we're going to make her a goodbye party. So there was the goodbye party. The Rav, Mrs. O'Shea, and us. Yeah. Another time we're leaving, and the Rav walked slowly, and the Rav shook. And he was, as I said, I started doing this around 81, 82, so he was 78, 79. So he walked to the front of the Morgenstern dormitory, and he turns around. It's December. He says, I have to go wish Mrs. O'Shea a happy holiday season. Go tell him no. Sure enough, we had to turn around and go greet him. Rabbi Brander was able to get him to do things. I said, we coddled him. The only one of us who maybe had the nerve to try to get the Rav to do something sits to my right. So one time there was a Chanukah Chag in the old Beis Medrash at YU. So the Rav didn't really want to go, but Rabbi Brander prevailed upon him. So finally the Rav looks and says, who else is going? Now I teach in high school. So who else is going is a question a kid asks. The Gadol Hador generally doesn't have issues like who else is going. I'm not cool if I don't go, right? So who else is going? So what do you mean? Who from our group? Okay, I'll bite. Who's our group? You, Kenny, Jordy, Michael. Oh, that's our group. Our little chabura, the Gadol Hador and his minions. Anyway, the Rav never, to the best of my knowledge, made a demand on us. Except one time, and Mr. Berman sits in this room. One time I came in, as mentioned, I have a car. So the Rav says, Lewis, Mr. Berman just finished meeting with me. He's an important man. Please take him down to his office in Manhattan. At my own wedding, the Mesharsim told me that when I went off to the Bedekin, the Rav had said, I don't march. He said, okay, so he sat there. We have great pictures of every one, you know, hanging on him while I was, I don't know why the photographer wasn't taking pictures of me, but okay. So they have pictures of everybody talking to the Rav at the wedding. So one of the Mesharsim told me that the Rav called over X, obviously I'm not going to say the name who X is, called over X, and then he called over Bno Shel X, who were not speaking. So a man and his father were not on speaking terms. And he said to the Mesharis, tell the two of them independently to be at my apartment tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So, Kachava, they weren't speaking at that point. They were speaking by the time the first day of my Sheva Brachas ended. So even when the Rav made demands, it wasn't for the Rav. It was to make Shalom Bayis, or it was to take care of an important Jewish leader. So, as I said, when the Rav asked about the boyfriend, what's his name? It wasn't the Rav of 1950. So every so often you saw the feisty Rav come out. February 1982, the Rav comes in and says to me, get me a New York Times. So I knew that Gershon Sholem had died. Gershon Sholem was a famous historian of Kabbalah. So I said, you want me to find the obituaries? Sure. So he said, can you please read it to me? So I'm reading it to him. So when we get to Sholem's dissertation topic, the Rav says, stop, please reread that. I said, okay, Rabbi, it was on the Sefer HaBahir. So the Rav says, in Berlin, that wouldn't have passed muster. I was like, yeah, you tell him. Like, again, when those moments happen, priceless. So we would make his appointments. Every so often, the Rav ignored us and made his own appointments. So we'd have a guy coming at 9 o'clock, and at 9 o'clock, there's a ring of the doorbell over in his apartment. And, I made an appointment. Who made an appointment? The Rav. Okay, it happened. So one time, there's a knock on the door, and a distinguished-looking gentleman is there. So, and I don't have to tell you, there were one or two nudniks who sometimes try to worm their way in. So this man says, my name is Jacob Dienstag. I'd like to speak with Rabbi Soloveitchik. Trust me, he'll want to see me. So I, you know, roll my eyes, and I say, okay, stay there. So I go in, Rebbe, there's some guy, Jacob Dienstag, he wants to see you. But I shouldn't let him in, right? He says, why are you making him stand outside? Tell him to come in right now. So turns out Professor Dienstag was the head librarian at the YU libraries. He was a chosh of a person. He was a Maimonidean scholar. And of course, I let him come in. And as he's walking in, he and the Rav are kind of giggling about the Mesharis who doesn't get it. I mentioned the Tuesday night shiurim. I have two of my own stories. One time was actually topical. I had to say a Dvar Torah for a Shabbaton. So I figured, I got the Rav, right? I don't need to say anything. So I said, Rebbe, this was Parsha Zemor. So if you flew in from Eretz Yisrael, it's last week's Parsha. So Parsha Zemor, I said, Rebbe, how come all of a sudden after the story of Mevarech Hashem, we hear all kinds of halachas, Bein Odom Lachavero? This is a good question. So, good. Now I got my Dvar Torah set up. He says, what do you think? I think you should tell me an answer so I can show off. Another time, he had me take notes. I think it was Parshas Vayigash. He had me take notes before the shiur. So he's giving me like Roshei Prakim. He's just giving me like little data. So I said, where are you going with this? Like, he wasn't writing out the shiur. He was just making notes for himself. So he says, come later, you'll find out. Come later, I'll find out. I'm walking you. So I'm obviously going to find out. Anyway, Laning, I don't know if I could tell this story, but I'm going to. So it was a Rosh Chodesh, I think. It was a Tuesday, and the Rav flew in, so he got there late. So he wanted to daven with a minyan, or at least hear Kriya Satorah. I'm not passing any shilas in front of my Rebbe, but the Rav wanted to hear Kriya Satorah. So he said, Rebbe, it's 10 o'clock. How are we going to get together a minyan? So he said, maybe if you look in the dormitories, Rabbi Schreiber, it's not true. Maybe if you look in the dormitories, there may be a boy or two who has not yet woken up to daven. Let's see if we can put together a minyan. The idea of Nudniks trying to get into the car, so there was one very, very persistent person who got his way in. So he comes into the car, and he's asking the Rav all the questions. Are all ice creams kosher? And about cheeses, you know, the standard questions that as a boy I heard, that, yeah, mutter, 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 right? So the Rav didn't say mutter to any of them. Then he says to the Rav, if I go to Eretz Yisrael, what should I do on Yontif? So the Rav says, you should keep mitzvot, again, I'm paraphrasing, but you should keep mitzvot asay as a ben Eretz Yisrael, but refrain from doing melacha. So the kid says to the Rav, oh, you mean a day and a half? So the Rav says, perhaps you didn't understand. Let me say again. You should do mitzvot asay of a ben Eretz Yisrael, but refrain from doing malacha on the second day. So the kid says, oh, a day and a half. And the Rav is like, what's a day and a half? So let me ask you a question. If I say, what does the Rav hold? Everyone will say, oh, a day and a half, right? There's only one person who never used that phrase, him. So it's generally been my policy to, when I speak, I will often say, you don't have to believe a word I say, because who knows if I understood the Rav either. But nonetheless, Rabbi Brander asked me to come. The next story quickly involves another Mesharis, if I keep on saying first names, I apologize. Every one of these Mesharisim was a 20-year-old. Now they're all important Rabbonim, so this person is also a great rabbi, a fellow named Neil Turk. So Neil Turk was with the Rav, and the Rav was at the stage where, again, he liked learning, and he loved teaching, but he was older and frail. And so sometimes in the middle of the day or early evening, and there wasn't some pressing communal issue, so he would just let relax. So there was a TV in the apartment. So Channel 13, there was only one person who liked the classical music, and that was the Rav. That was not our thing. Anyway, one time they're flipping channels, and they chance upon a show. It was a show, and of course, nobody, TV's also, so you've never heard of this, but I'll tell it to you. So it was a show called Barnaby Jones. I guess one or two of you heard of it. Anyway, so Barnaby Jones was a show about a retired detective who came out of retirement, who was already in his 70s, and he was working as a detective. So the Rav says to Neil, okay, let's watch this. So they watch the show, and the Rav says to Neil afterwards, oh, it's a good show. So, of course, we teased, of course it was a good show, right? It was not a Lanzmann, but he was Ben Gilo. Anyway, 1980, we're driving to LaGuardia, and I had an entourage with me. Often the chevra would come. As opposed to the time that a fella stopped one of the Mishorsim walking to the plane, a fella came to him and said, is that Rabbi Soloveitchik? He said, yeah. He said, my name is Alan Dershowitz. He said, you guys have heard of him, right? So he said, I'm friends with his son Chaim. I'll take him on the plane. So we weren't the only Mishorsim. So one time we're driving to the airport in 1980, and all of a sudden they give a soundbite that Reagan is going to speak. It's classic. So Reagan does his thing on the radio, and then the Rav says, the president is an old man. When was Reagan born? 1911. The Rav was born in 1903. So nobody in the car had the temerity to say, Rebbe's younger than you. But in fact, it was such an amazing mussar that I carry with me now. The last time I think I saw the Rav, I went into the workforce. So it was 1985. So I came into the apartment, and I had a suit and tie. So the Rav says, Lewis, you look so nice. I guess, implication being perhaps I didn't. when I was a boy in the yeshiva. Okay. Lewis, you look so nice. I said, yeah. My wife believes that if I'm going to teach Torah, I need to be presentable. I need to look nice. So the Rav says, right, what's your reaction to that? It would not be, get me a Rambam. Right? I look nice. My wife says, get me a Rambam. Okay. So in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, in Perek Aleph, the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah to beautify the Beis HaMikdash, l'romemus Beis Elokeinu. Who thinks that way? Okay, the Rav thought that way. So I was realizing, and with this I conclude, and thank you for asking me to speak. I realized when I did this, when I was the Misharis, number one, Rabbi Yazger, Rabbi Brander, Rabbi Turk, Rabbi Frebin, Rabbi Gorelick, and Rabbi Adler, a couple of the others, we were not only the last generation to be Zocha, we were the last age group. If you were born 57 to 63, it's the last person who was Zocha to actually interact on a personal level with the Rav. So it's important for me to recognize just how lucky I am. But using the Reagan story, I'm now closer to the Rav's age than I was when I was the Misharis. I have to remind myself, he was a man whose body was failing him, but he was still fighting. Why did he have to come in? He had a commuter marriage before it was even cool. He was coming in on a plane, not easy, getting a lift to the airport, flying the plane, coming off the plane. He was exhausted. But still, he wanted to give his and say his shiur. Thank you again for having me. And now I pass the baton to Rabbi Brander.